So as we get started this morning, we are second sermon into a series called The Story, where we are working through God's Word from beginning to end. And we're trying to bring that to life. Obviously, as you came in last week and this week, you can see that big tree out front and remind us where God's story begins. And as we talked about that last week, we're gonna recap that really quick. But let me encourage you and remind you that we have a reading plan. If you have gotten one of these books called The Story, it's God's Word in an abridged version, but it helps give us God's Word from beginning to end. They're available in the back. We bought those in bulk so that the savings are to you. If you want to get involved in that, that's awesome. We've got a reading plan, and I have been overwhelmed by how many people have engaged in this reading plan and how many people are realizing how easy it is to have devotion, how beneficial and life-giving it is to have devotion with God on a consistent basis. And so these reading plans are in the seat pockets in front of you. They're also at the information counter if they run out. And they show you how to follow along. Matter of fact, this past week, as my kids were reading, as my wife was reading, my wife read on Monday night, chapter one of the story. And then the night two, she's like, all right, well, I got to read chapter two. And I said, no, wait a minute, you're not supposed to read chapter two yet, because you just read Genesis 1 through, nine. You read from creation to the flood. She's like, no, I didn't realize I'd read all this. You may be a great reader. And so I would encourage you to read the same chapter every night of the week and continue to take in more of that entire story and all those chapters and all that Word of God. You may be a terrible reader like me. I'm a terrible reader. And so you may just read a little bit and stop where the author has his notes and helps bridge the gaps and things of that nature, so that each and every day you're taking that time to spend with God. Remember, it's not about at the end of this being able to say, I read through the Bible. It's about having devotion with God. It's about spending more time with Him. It's about seeing His Word come to life and putting it to action, to life in your world as well. So as we get started this morning, just want to encourage you. We're going to be in Genesis chapters 12, 22, and then Hebrews chapter 11. But let me recap for you. Last week, we ended with the flood. And if you read this week, you ended with the flood. It's not real bright and real exciting and real encouraging, is it? God sends a flood and the entire world population is wiped out except for a small group of people, Noah and his family. And so it's kind of dark. But last week we talked about how God brings, even in those first few chapters, four bright lights. He brings bright light. He reminds us and He encourages us that in the midst of darkness, in the midst of struggle, God is there. God is for us. God is pursuing us. And in fact, as we think about that, let me just encourage you to remember this. God's vision of creation was for us to be connected to Him, was for us to be close to Him. Adam and Eve, unfortunately, had a different vision. And they sinned. And that sin has flooded the earth and moves all of us. They made the choice, just like many of us make the choice in our own lives, to do things that are disobedient to God. And so it promotes and encourages sin, and whether it's our own foolish decisions or somebody else's foolish decisions, everybody in this room has been impacted by how sin is prevalent within our life. But God's vision is to give us an opportunity to connect with Him and ultimately stay connected with Him. And what we see in the story today as we continue to follow along is that God does extraordinary things with ordinary people who trust Him. At the end of the day, the significant problem, the significant reason for sin has to do with trust. Because Adam and Eve had received God's Word, and God said, trust me, this is what you don't want to do. And they decided to do it anyway. So it was an issue of trust. But God shows us in His story, in our own stories, this is what we're trying to learn and trying to receive today. But what we're going to study about, when we study about Abraham and Sarah today, we see that God does extraordinary things through ordinary people who trust Him, who believe in Him, or are faithful to Him. So today's Family Sunday, every time we have a fifth Sunday, our first through fifth graders come in and they join us. And I know that they just love to hear me preach. They just look forward, they count the days, can't wait to go into big church. But it's also a way of us teaching our kids and us as families, worshiping together, growing together, learning how we get together. But I want to make sure that I am engaging to them as well. So I have an illustration today of trust, and I need somebody that is willing to trust me. And it can't be a student. It can't be a kid. It has to be somebody who's older, and you have to be willing to trust me. Do I have any volunteers? Somebody's volunteer. Oh, Wendy Guthrie, do you want to volunteer? come on, come on down. That's awesome. I had Doug set up, because, and just in case nobody volunteered, but you came through, and so that's awesome. So, Wendy, you trust me then. There's one. There's only like 300 left, so okay. Okay, I'm going to have you stand over here on my left side. So I have two cups. You won't get electrocuted. We'll move away from all of the panels. So you need to face them. You need to hold your hands out straight, okay, just like that. And I'm going to put my water right there. I'm going to put this in that hand. I'm going to put this in that hand, okay? So this is water, and it's just regular water. I haven't done anything weird to it. I'll show you that just so you know. I know you trust me. This is exciting. So I'm really moved by that. I'm only going to put a little water because I don't trust myself. But anyway, so this one's mine. You can put that arm down. Leave this arm up nice and high. So what you're going to do now is you're going to put the cup on top of your head and keep a hold of it. Okay, so go ahead and put it on top of your head. Now you're going to close your eyes, and then you're going to slowly just turn around once. Go ahead and do that. Okay, you're back where you need to be now. Okay, so now you can put the cup back out. And you can open your eyes. So now what we're going to do, on the count of three, we're going to hold these cups over our head and we're going to turn them upside down. And your hair looks really nice today. I'm hoping this works right. Okay, you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. All right. Thank you. Would y'all show her some appreciation, some love there? So she trusted me because I did that with my wife last night. And she was like, no. You know, but here's the thing. And how many of you thought that water was going to pour out onto her head? Yeah. So did I a little bit, to be honest with you. But that's the whole issue of trust, though, right? I mean, that's a small, very insignificant kind of illustration. But because when we're talking about our lives, whatever it is that you come in here with today and issues and struggles, it's right now, it's past, it's future, you're looking ahead to it, whatever it may be, they're far more significant than just a little bit of water on your hair on a Sunday morning. But ultimately, it gives us a simple picture, though. When God asks us to do something, sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes we think, man, this isn't going to work out so well. But yet, God's asking us. And the question is, do we trust him? And are we willing to take a step, even though it doesn't seem to add up, even though I think the water's going to come out of the cup on top of my head? But this is the kind of trust that we see from Abraham and Sarah. And it's because of that trust that he takes ordinary people and he does something that is extraordinary within their life as well. So let's do this. To keep this simple and to keep this moving quick, matter of fact, you might want to let the praise team know that we're going to be quick today. This is how we're going to move. The people God chose, the plan God revealed, and the preparation that they endured, all right? What we see within this story of God today is that he chose specific people. He revealed a very specific plan, and those people endured a specific type of preparation. So let's just talk about the people really quick. Abraham and Sarah were from a place called Ur. If you have the story Bible book, you can actually look in the very beginning and see a map. Oh, we got it up here too. Great. Ur is in a place that's close to what's relatively known as the location of the Garden of Eden. It's not too far away. There's a lot of speculation about it, but you can add up. It's pretty close to where everything began, to where the story began, to where God's creation began. And this is where Abraham and Sarah comes from. This is where they come from. Now, I will say that the little bit we know about them is this, is that they're good stewards because they have a good bit of flock, a good bit of cattle, and that's like their 401k. That's like their stock market, right? I mean, it's not like recently how the stock market's been so bad. I mean, if you have a bad year, then a lot of your cattle die off and get disease or something like that, and that's how they experience a loss of trade. So they were good stewards. But here's the bigger point in this. The reason why maybe they had a lot of cattle, they had a lot of flock, they had done well, they were good stewards, whatever it may be, is because they were a lot older. This is a really keen point, really clear point too, really important point. And let me make a side note. Young kids, middle school students, high school students, college students, sometimes when we get a little bit older, we see our mom and our dad have this, our grandparents have that, and we think, man, I want to have that, I want to have this, I want to have that kind of car, I want to have that kind of house, I want to have that kind of job, whatever it may be, and you forget a very important point. It took them a lot of years to get there. And sometimes we try to rush the things that we're supposed to be patient and wait on. But ultimately, Abraham and Sarah, probably because they're older, they've been good stewards over their life. They have collected a lot of these things, but the fact that they're older is more important. They are old people, and they have no kid. They have no child. In fact, they don't have the ability to have children. Genesis chapter 11, verse 30 says that Sarah was barren and had no children. Now, what we're talking about today is that God, in his attempt to bring about a plan so that we can beat sin, we can overcome sin, and we can reconnect with God, is going to build a nation. And he's going to build that nation starting with Abraham and with Sarah. And he picks two old people who can't have kids. Anybody else see any problems with that? It's significant problems if you want to do things on your own. If you want to figure it out on your own, if you want to follow your own plan, but if you want to trust in God, then you can see extraordinary things happen even within ordinary people. So let's look really quick at what God says to them. It's Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. This is what God says to Abraham. If you have a Bible, follow along. If you don't have a Bible, there are ones for you in the rack in front of you. And if you're following along in your storybook, it's right at the beginning of chapter 2. Right at the beginning of chapter 2, we find Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, and this is what we read. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country. Now, just by the way, Abram is Abraham. When people trust in God and he does something amazing through them, he changes their names. So at this point, he's Abram, Sarah is Sarai, but later he changes their names to Abraham and Sarai. So Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is what God says to Abraham, that everybody on the face of the earth, that includes us to this day, thousands of years later, will be blessed through him because of his faith, because of his trust. Here's the reality of it. Every single one of us is ordinary. I mean, I'm being honest. You know, sometimes I get, people ask me, what should we call you? That always cracks me up. I appreciate the respect. I really do. But three steps doesn't mean I need to be called anything other than Ross, because that's who I am. And every single one of us within this room, we're just ordinary people. And many times our stories are just ordinary stories. And the reality of it is every single one of us in this room, we want something that's extraordinary. We want to be involved in something that's extraordinary. We want to experience something that's extraordinary. We want to at least touch or be able to plan and be involved in something where we can say our life was significant, our life was meaningful. Whether it's on a team, at school, whether it's in school, whether it's our education, whether it's our family. Listen, you know, so there's some moms that they're bent on the fact that I want my kid to be extraordinary. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. God wires us that way. God designs us that way to seek something that is amazing, that is special. But what God is teaching us in this story is, I will take people who are ordinary and doesn't even have the ability to do what I'm calling them to do, and through their trust, through their faith, I will make them extraordinary. I will graft their story into my story, and they will become something that is amazing. This is what we know of Abraham. When we read later in Hebrews, the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed. And he went, even though he did not know where he was going. God set up this entire story so that when we read it today, we see him doing something extraordinary through an ordinary man who doesn't even have the ability with his wife to do what God's calling him to do, but he does it because the man is faithful, because he and his wife trust in God. These are the people that God chose, people that are much like us, identical to us in so many ways. But the plan that God revealed is this. God will make a great new nation. God will make a nation. If you read that again, Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, you'll see that it's emphasized, I will do this. I will make. So God will make a great new nation. even though they can't have kids. The emphasis is this, it's God will do it. When we trust in God, God can do so much more. Have we in this nation gotten to a place to where we have so many amenities, we have so many opportunities, we have so many things available to us, that we've become people who mainly trust in those amenities? We trust in those opportunities? We trust in those things that are constantly available to us? Because we are far less than third world in many ways. And can that be that it's diminishing our ability to truly let God shine, to let God be out there, because we have to totally and completely trust in him? It's very possible. It's just something I was wrestling with, but I just want to say, God will make a great new nation. It says God will make Abraham great. Here's the thing. He asked the man to leave his hometown, the town where he's grown up in, the town where he's respected, the town where he's known, the town where he can make his living, the town where he has his best business contacts, the town where he is older and recognized as an elder and one of wisdom within that town. And he says, when you leave this place, I will make you great. When you trust in me and follow me, I will make you great. But it's counterintuitive for us. If that's the place where I am, if that's where I have the context, if that's where I've got the best opportunities, that's where I can make a great name. That's where I can do something extraordinary, and that would be true. But when you're dealing with God and you're trusting in God, the miraculous power of God is at work and will do amazing and powerful things, and it will blow our minds. It will be extraordinary. And we'll realize, man, I'm just an ordinary person, but that was extraordinary. That was God. That wasn't me. And it will encourage us and promote us to trust more, to follow more, to obey more, to go a little bit deeper. God says, God will bless those who bless Abraham. Here's what I want you to understand about this. This kind of struck me while I was preaching first service. There is absolutely nothing that will stand between God and his plan. At this point, when God says, I will bless anyone who blesses you, the end of Abraham's story was already written. If we read it not knowing the end, we would get scared at times thinking, man, this could be the end of Abraham here. He's in a pretty tight spot in Egypt a couple times. There could be some problems, and we could think, man, he's not going to make it through this. But because God said, this is my plan, and nothing will stand in the way of my plan. Now, this is the thing that struck me, and this is what scared me really bad about this as I thought about it. I have plans. I have ideas. I have hopes. I have dreams and aspirations, just like anybody else in here, we all do. And sometimes those plans align with where God wants me to go, what God wants me to do. And that's always exciting, because then I don't have to change the way I think or what I feel. And sometimes those plans are different than what I want, what I desire. Then a struggle really ensues. Because trying to align my heart and my life, my family, my desires, my dreams to what God wants and what God is trying to accomplish is hard. But going against it is ignorant, because God's plan always succeeds. And he gives ordinary people an opportunity to be engaged in something that is extraordinary. And then it goes on to say there as well, you know, God will bless Abraham. He goes on to say that God will bless everyone through Abraham. All of us are a part of this nation that God has created. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we place our faith in God and we trust in him. We're immersed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are blessed too. And it all begins with what? One ordinary man who takes a step of faith and trusts the word of God. Let me ask you this question. What is it maybe this week that if you just say, you know what, I need to humble myself, I need to repent, I need whatever it may be, and say, if I did that this week, and if I trusted what God's word says in this area, in that area, whether it's in a marriage, with my relationship with my kids, relationship with a teacher that you're already frustrated with after 1 week, whatever it may be. I trust God and do something different in my life this week, how that person may be impacted to be blessed. Because that's what Abraham did. He trusted God, and because of that, he is the father of a nation that we are a part of, and we are blessed because of it. Now listen, This is not a perfect man, and we know that. I've read this list for you before, but let me read it again. Peter, the apostle, was a man who had a temper. He struggled with that. David the king, had an affair. Noah, you read this week. As soon as he got off the ark, he drank too much and got drunk. Jonah was a man who ran from God. Paul was an apostle of God, but he had committed murder and been involved in committing murder. Gideon was an insecure man, deeply insecure man. Miriam was the sister of Moses. She was a gossip. Martha was somebody who worried a lot. Thomas was somebody who was close to Jesus, but he doubted consistently. Sarah was impatient. We're going to see that here in just a minute. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. He's a man with a speech impediment, and God says, go talk to Pharaoh. Thanks, God. Appreciate that. Excited. Zacchaeus was a short man. Abraham was an old man, and Lazarus was a dead man. And yet God did something extraordinary through each and every single one of these people. And he will do something extraordinary through us regardless of our sin, in spite of our sin, when we start to trust in him. And you may be thinking, there's just no way. But here's the thing. Here's what God's plan is. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you, speaking to us, speaking to the close disciples, but those close disciples have now entrusted this word to us as well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How are they the witnesses of God to the ends of the earth when they never made it further than their small region in their time? Through us. When we say, ministry is more than just coming and putting on a performance, putting on a show on Sunday morning. Ministry is more than just coming and sitting in a chair on Sunday morning. Ministry is hearing what God's word says to me and taking the very difficult step of believing it and putting it into action within my life. But I know that some of us still struggle with, like, how can I do this? How can I be a part of this plan? But I just share with you David, King David, very, very person who sinned greatly, and then he sinned on top of that because of he's trying to cover it up. Listen to what he says as God continues to lead him and work on his heart. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Here's a man who was involved in sin in an extremely deep and difficult way, but he humbled himself. He repented, which means he turned to God, to trust in God. How do we know that he humbled himself? How do we know that he repented and he turned to God? Because he wrote this? No, this could have just been a moment of emotional despair. It's because he displayed it in his life and how he learned from his failures, how he learned from his faults. And because he truly humbled himself, God did something extraordinary through an ordinary man when he started to really demonstrate trust and faith and stepping out. But listen, Abraham and Sarah, not only were they the people that God chose, and they couldn't even do what he needed them to do, but he did it for them, to be involved in the plan that God was preparing, but they endured preparation. They endured some time. Do you know from the moment that God said to Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child, to the actual time in which they had the child was 25 years? How many of us pray something on Monday and get frustrated on Friday? That's a reality. And it's all of us. It's all of us struggle with it. But you know what? It takes a lifetime of commitment. It takes a lifetime of pursuit. It takes a lifetime of endurance. It takes a lifetime of stepping one foot in front of the other. And so here's what Sarah does. She gets impatient, and she comes up with her own plan. She comes up with her own idea. Now, it's Family Sunday, so you have to read the story this week to find out what that is. But it's her plan. It's her idea, and it's not God's power. It's not God's will. And Abraham is just as complicit, even so more, and he gets involved in the plan that Sarah has. And as you read about that this week, you'll be reminded and encouraged that there's going to be times when you're going to be impatient, like, I've got a different plan. I've got a different, I can make this happen. This is what God really meant when he said, no, just wait on God, pray to God, humble yourself before God, repent and turn towards God, trust him more. And I'm telling you, he will do extraordinary things in our lives. He'll give us that opportunity to connect with something that we are just dying and itching and passionate to be involved in and to be connected with. And then also, Sarah laughs. I don't know if you know this or not, but you'll read this in the story. Sarah laughs when she overhears God speaking with Abraham and saying that you're going to have a child. She laughs. God hears it. That's why their child's name ends up being Isaac, because his name means laughter. And it comes from that part. But they just demonstrated ways in which they had to endure preparation. Have you ever been through something where you thought, this is it, Jesus, come back now? Because I just don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to endure this. This is the worst thing ever. You know, maybe if you're a parent, you've certainly seen this in your kids. You're like, just calm down. It's not as bad as you think. The world's not going to stop spinning. And then 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, something bigger comes. And you look back and you go, man, I was a little bit unfaithful at that time, and it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was now. What is God doing? Sometimes when we experience some of the most difficult things in our life, we're quick to be frustrated with God. We're quick to be angry with God. We need to remember in the story last week, God created us to be connected to him. It's his vision for us to always be there. It was Adam and Eve's vision. It was humanity's vision to sin. God created us to be connected with him. And sometimes we get so frustrated and so upset because something difficult comes into our life. And it is a great opportunity because God is preparing us for something. God is developing us. Because when something difficult comes into our life that we can't manage, that we can't control, that we can't fix, that hurts us or we struggle with, what does it cause us to do? It causes us to rely on something else. It causes us to rely on someone else. And I've seen people who've turned to their neighborhood bar. I've seen people who've turned to drugs. I've seen people who've turned to all kinds of things. And then I've gotten the pleasure to see people who turn to their church, who turn to the people that they're closest with and have the same faith and the same trust in God. And I've seen people turn to God. I've seen people's faith explode because of the difficult seasons that they've been through and help them grow up to know Christ and to know God more. But that wasn't even the biggest test. The biggest test is found in Genesis chapter 22. Turn there with me if you'd like. If you're following along in the story, you'll find that, I believe, somewhere on page 19. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. This is a test, a preparation of Abraham to trust more and more in God. God had prepared them, one test after the other. Their faith had increased. This was the most trust that Abraham would ever have to show in God. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 2, or page 19, middle of the page. It says this: sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show to you." This sounds so weird and foreign to us, but just take it for face value. This was common practice in their culture in their day. This is the son Isaac. At this time, he's about 17 years old. And he is the son that God promised to Abraham and Sarah that they couldn't have on their own, that he helped them have. And he was going to be the father of all the nations to come. And yet now God is asking him to go and to sacrifice his son. What was Abraham thinking? We get some insight into what he was thinking because Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 and 19 says this: "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham," here it is, "Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead." And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. You see, Abraham's trust had become so powerful, so amazing, that he was just an ordinary man that became very extraordinary. That his story was grafted into the story of God and became extraordinary. ordinary, but it was because of his faith, is because of his trust. Now, what happens is God stops Abraham from killing his own son. There's a ram caught in a bush close by, and God says, take that ram, make the sacrifice. I just want to know that you fully trust me, and I know it, and I see it. And I am so thankful, you know, and it's so encouraging when we read the story that Abraham's son was spared. But you know what? This problem that we have and the darkness that we have, it can't be cured, it can't be fixed without a bright light. And even though Abraham's son was spared, we know that God's son was not spared. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the light of God, the encouragement of God, that we have the opportunity to be a part of a story that's extraordinary, to do something amazing with our life. But it means that we have to trust in God. It means that we have to follow God. And here's what I want to encourage you to think about. I don't know what it is, because every single one of us is a different level of our faith. But every single one of us have to make a decision to take a step of faith in something within our life. It may be to give our life to Christ for the first time, to make that commitment, to be immersed, to be baptized into Christ. And it may be something else. But I'm telling you, just as Abraham took that step of faith, he blessed other people. It was amazing to other people because of that. And he impacted them in an extraordinary way. You have the same thing, the same opportunity this week, whether it's to impact your spouse, to impact your kids, to impact a teacher at school, another student at school, impact your mom, your dad, whatever it may be, friends, coworkers, and you have the opportunity to be a blessing to them, because what you do may be something that catches their attention and leads them to Christ and eternal life. That's why Canoe Creek Christian Church is here. God is the one who created us. He's the source of our life. And he's demonstrated to us that when we trust in him, he will do amazing things within our marriages, within our kids' lives, within our families, within our church, within our communities, within our schools. But it all starts with trusting him. Otherwise, we're just going to be a bunch of ordinary blobs going through life. Let's be extraordinary by putting our faith and our trust in God. Let's pray.